And reading from verse 6 through to verse 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. So we'll begin, Julian.
Hi. I think I know you all. You know me. I won't go into the bio. That's a bit sort of irrelevant. I'm really glad to be here. The last seminar that I was at was in Adelaide last year. Ros was there. I remember having fun with frankincense and myrrh. You remember that, Ron? That was good. I always find a seminar stimulating, refreshing, focused, surprising. You know, the unexpected comes along as well as what you yourself expect to get from it. So all of that, and I endorse David's comments about your hopes and needs from this seminar, which I hope is happening, or will happen. My question, how would I format that? Or I guess I should preface that with something you all know, I guess all of you know. I've been president of the New Church in Australia for 11 years, almost exactly, which is no big deal. But it's actually given me, at a deeper level rather than organisation, it's given me a sort of an ability to sort of overview, and I sort of look at it and good, bad, and indifferent. So my question would be, what is the real Church of the Lord in this world? And what are we asked to be and do if we are part of that? That's my question.
My name's Dorothy Talbot. I belong to the New Church all my life. I haven't been to one of these seminars before. I thought it might do me good. And that's all.
Hi, I'm John Talbot. I've been with the Canberra group since it started, and before that with the Sydney group. I guess I'm here mainly to learn. I guess one of the things that goes through my mind recently is that as I'm coming up towards retirement age, I've had I've had five of my colleagues never reach retirement age recently, so I think a lot about that. I've certainly had been to a lot of funerals in the last year, people I've worked with, so it leaves a lot of questions over me, and I've certainly, today will be a challenge for me today. I have to stay focused on what's happening here, but it's also one of my three busiest weeks of the year at work.
Senate
Estimates. It's Senate Estimates week. I was there on Monday night, so in front of the cameras and everything. And so if you suddenly see me dash out of the room, you'll know there's a problem. And I've got some other clothes ready in the car if I have to dash. So I'm going to relax as the day goes on. And sorry, one other thing. I went in to get an assessment of my foot yesterday, and the doctor decided to do the operation at the time. So for the presenters, if you see me with a squirmish face, it's nothing to do with what you're saying.
Well, I'm June. I'm from Adelaide. Oh, I'm so sorry I missed Adelaide. And yet it was wonderful because I had some of my childhood friends from England come over unexpectedly. About 2 months they've contacted me before, so I missed Adelaide. I thought, oh, I can just pop up and down, and I couldn't. But it was great having our friends over for 2.5 weeks. And yeah, I've been to a few seminars, yes, over the years, and I always enjoy them. I always come away with new thinking and new knowledge. I love the depth that we go into. I love the avenues we explore. I think perhaps if I have a question, is it a question we're supposed to have?
If you have.
Okay, right. It's how can we make the understanding, the knowledge that we have more relevant to the world today so that we can help more people? Is that the question? Yeah, that's the end of it. A full stop.
I'm Sylvia, and I've grown up with a new church all my life, mostly in Sydney, then now in Canberra. This is my first seminar, and I haven't had a lot of time to think about it because this is the third weekend in a row that I've a seminar or a workshop or something, so I've been pretty busy lately. But I noticed the book Divine Love and Wisdom is going to be discussed, and that's one of my favourite books. I kind of see it as a book about creation. I don't know whether other people see it as a book about creation, but I do. I just like to explore that more in depth. How can kind of put that all together? I started reading the book Proving God.
Edward Sylvia.
Yeah, by Edward Sylvia. And I had great hopes for that book, but it's incomprehensible. Most of it.
I'm
very disappointed. I thought, you know, here is something that can really take, you know, what's in Divine Love and Wisdom and, you know, make it more relevant to the, you know, wider population. But no, didn't do it for me. So I guess I haven't really had time to think of the question, but exploring that further perhaps is, you know, going to be something I might get out of this talk.
My name's Cole Visanarchand. I live in Canberra. And on behalf of the Canberra group, everybody welcome from interstate and to travel and allowing us to host you guys here. I'm glad that we found a suitable venue and everything. Canberra's a little bit more expensive than some other parts of the country, so it's great to be able to make it all work. Also, I suppose on behalf of the Canberra group, I apologise for some people not being able to attend, even though they wanted to, because of work commitments and things like that. So that's why there's the contingency from Canberra is a little bit despite it being held here. So please accept that apology.
I did not grow up in a new church. I think this isn't the first one in this road. I didn't grow up in a new church. I was introduced to the new church through a book that my future wife gave me at the time. And, you know, at the time I was very anti-organised religion. I was sick and tired of all the hypocrisy and the fighting and the arguments and disputes. And I go, look, if I can't make this end-to-end tied together, then forget about the whole thing and I'll, you know, sort it out later. But the questions, of course, stay with you. And the book that I was given was The Presence of Other Worlds by Wilson von Dusen. And, you know, when he's in the first three chapters, he introduces Swedenborg. And I was impressed. And I go, okay, I have to listen to what this man has to say, because if people like that speak, you notice, you know, you take notice of what is being said. And since that time, I've given, you know, dozens of that book away, and it's only last year or so that I actually finished reading the book myself. But obviously, in the interim, I've been going to church and attended meetings and finished up a lot of other books. I attend most of the seminars that I can attend. And at the moment, my question is really related to the physical experience and the spiritual reality of the quality of my mind and how it relates to, you know, one is my health and well-being, and whether a particular my current physical issue, you know, with, you know, that I'm dealing with, whether how that relates to my spiritual reality. And secondly, I'm also juggling the balance of having an extremely busy work life and commitments with family, as well as, you know, a calling that I think, you know, I need to fulfill, but I'm probably wanting to do it in my time and not in the Lord's time, and I'm just sort of questioning what the Lord's time is there, you know. So that's what's going on in my mind. Thank you.
I'm Michael Chester, and I've been to a few seminars, and I've really enjoyed meeting the people attending the seminar and getting to see what interests them, and also gaining a lot from the in-depth presentations that are given by David Miller and the other presenters. It's a great opportunity to deepen my own appreciation of Swedenborg's ideas and insights, and I think that's one of the great benefits of attending these seminars. You get to see people who have studied and lived the writings throughout their lives, and you somehow imbibe the spirit and the gift of the writings. I'm drawn to the Canberra talks, what's listed in the schedule. There's some introductions to books that I'm looking forward to. As Sylvia mentioned, she loves Divine Love and Wisdom, and I remember doing a course with Julian on this book, where we looked at a chapter perhaps each month, and that was a wonderful experience, and it's nice to come back to what we've appreciated in the past, to be reminded of the themes the topics that are covered in particular books. So I'm looking forward to doing a bit of revision work, and also being introduced to some new books. I'm looking forward to Reflections on Swedenborg's Spiritual Experiences. That's a book I've only touched on, started reading and then put it aside. But for the writings to live, I need to see how they how they've been experienced. And that's an important aspect in how I approach the writings. Because of my role in managing the Swedenborg Centre, I'm wanting to find ways to promote Swedenborg and to so that's ever present in my mind, trying to make his writings of interest to other people and finding ways to introduce his writings to other people. I'm involved in upgrading the website, and what I'd like the new website to have would be some tools to help people in the process of regenerating, because there's a passage, or someone said recently, there's no good knowing all the spiritual knowledges of the world if you don't have a connection with the divine. Somehow, and that struck me as being very true, that I shouldn't be pursuing so much knowledges and truths. It's more to have a connection with the divine. That's the most important thing. So trying to live that and change my ways to have a closer relationship with the divine, and also somehow reflect that in the website, are areas that that preoccupy my thinking.
My name is Philip Richards. I've been to quite a few of these seminars, and as earlier people have said, they're very worthwhile. You learn a lot. Over the years, I've seen a lot of change as far as religion is concerned. When I was in Wales, I can remember going off to church, Tabernacle Baptist Church, as it then was, and there were crowds of people on the streets all going off to church. Now we've reached a stage where religion is on the nose, pretty much, and what shocked me of in recent times is a number of my friends that were raised like I was had a they were church going, raised in church going families, and now adopt the way of the world in saying that you don't believe that anymore about God, do you? You don't believe in God. So, and that has shocked me. And I need to be able to explain to people, I feel the need within myself to be able to explain why I am still religious and why I believe as I do, and how can I help people that don't see things quite the same way as me. How can I explain to non-religious people, to atheists, that there are definite advantages in belief, in belief in God, in belief in the Word, and trying to live as the Bible teaches. So when I come to these seminars, there's a lot of clever people here, and it's good to be amongst people that see things pretty much the same way as me. And of course, we all learn from each other. In ordinary conversation, after somebody's given a presentation or during a presentation, we're learning all the time. And our own ideas are getting changed and modified. All of that is good. We are growing spiritually when that sort of process happens. So you grow faster in this kind of environment, I think, growing spiritually. Anyway, that's enough from me.
Thanks.
My name's Katie Wilde. I've never been to one of these seminars. I absolutely have an open mind. Why I'm here is because I have taken years to develop an open mind, but I do have one. Do have one now. Why am I here? I suppose really in your reading. You know, I would say I don't really know why I'm here, but God does, in the sense that Julian has been very generous over the last 2 years since I've been back from Yorkshire, where I went to look after my mum when she was 90 and she lived to 103. And that was a journey for both of us. But she certainly taught me a lot more than I ever taught her. So Swedenborg I was introduced to in 1986. I was given heaven and hell. I didn't understand it. I wouldn't attempt to read heavy stuff off anybody, because for me, academic, if it is, and I know that academics have hearts as well, but for me, I have to go with what I can understand that touches me, like this morning's, and thank you, it touched me for many years of a reason. But Julian has given every fortnight work with the scripture. I believe in the word of God. I don't go by the book. I'm brought up Irish Catholic, very strong. And it's taken a long time to break down what has been crystallized from a child. Question? Truth. Always search the truth. Interesting you had it this morning. But I've also come to learn what what is the truth for me. It's not everybody's truth. And it changes. And so I don't know what I'm going to get. I hope to God that I'm going to be able to feed my soul, because that's all I really want to do now. Feed my soul and find out my own truth and have the courage. Saying it's one thing, living it's another. So, I don't know. I'll just let God let you all talk to me over the weekend. Okay.
I'm David Moffat. I'm another one of the residents of Canberra. Been to a couple of seminars. Enjoyed them all thoroughly. And looking forward to what I get here. I'm actually not going to share my questions now because they're going to come up later in the day. But what I will say is there's an interesting overlap in what I've heard already. So that's good.
So. We're not going to talk about you. My name's Rosalind Taylor. I live in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, USA, which is basically for nothing. Grew up in Sydney in the Hurstville Church. Currently, I would say I consider myself like a universal Swedenborgian. Anyway, because I have a foot in several different of the organisations.
Make us feel universal, love you.
Oh, all right, good. as Julie mentioned, I was at the seminar in Adelaide last year. It was wonderful. I just love being able to come and be instantly part of a community in here, you know, so that's great. And I'm in the Diploma of Spiritual Christianity. I'm a student of the Australian New Church College. So that's partly why I'm here also, because I just love being here in Australia. But anyway, I'd say my question that sort of I've been dealing with for a little while is sort of what I would call co-creation, like the extent to which we cooperate with the divine to create our lives, our inner life, our outer life, the world around us, and the extent to which it's sort of God's world and we have to find our part in it. Part of the reading today, you know, God's ways and thoughts are not ours, and so, you know, we're in a dialogue with that the whole time. So that, how much responsibility does each part have in prayer? That's been something I've been working with. I don't know if we're going to touch on that at all today, or I mean, this seminar, but for what it's worth.
I was christened Kirk Holst. Kirk because Mum was pretty keen on Kirk Douglas. And Holst because...
Many were.
You can go back that far, can you?
I can, yeah.
And Holst because my father's side, they emigrated out from Denmark in 1908. My grandmother and father didn't know each other at that time. They came out on separate boats from Denmark, but in the same year, and they met here. Married here, so I got the name Holst. But my father was born here and I was born here, so I'm second generation that side, and Irish Catholic on the other side, back in the 1850s. And I live in the Blue Mountains, just west of Sydney. I've been there for 8 years. It's a great place to live. I never thought it was, but after living there for 8 years, it was great. And I share my house with my daughter and granddaughter for the last 18 months. And I came into Swedenborg in 1997, and absolutely, when I started reading Swedenborg, I was just, well, the old saying, blown away. And for me, there's no other writings on the planet like Swedenborg, because you can read awesome writings, but everybody else's writing at best is like they're telling the story from someone who's been there and they're relaying it. But to me, when you read Swedenborg, you're reading a person who's been there and telling you what he's experienced. And that mind that's been there is probably the greatest mind of his time. And even considered that very much today by people who know, by Berkeley University. So Swedenborg's writing, wow, mind-blowing. Never been to a Swedenborg seminar before, but I already know I'm in the right place. And as far as my question goes, I've had two questions that have driven my life since a teenager. The first one can be embarrassing to say, though I spoke about it in the car this morning. And I hope everyone takes this the way I mean it. The first one from a teenager was, what the hell is wrong with humanity? From a few personal experiences, but from history, what I read about, I thought, oh my God, there is something desperately, desperately wrong with humanity. And that followed up with a question in my mind, where is the wise person, the God, the prophet, whatever you want to say, that is going to sort this mess out? And that, if you believe in the psyche affecting your health, that caused me to have for many, many years suffered from dry eyes, which felt like sand in them. And I was told by a brilliant psychopathologist from Melbourne, Greg Neville, he told me, as soon as I told him I had sore eyes, he said, you can't see the counsellor, Kurt. Didn't know what he meant at first, but he was right. I couldn't see. I was always looking, where is the person that's going to sort this bloody mess out? That answer came to me in 1997, and then straight after that I was led to Swedenborg, and Swedenborg confirmed the answer to that question. The question now is, I look at humanity, especially Western humanity, and I think, oh my God, how can, and everyone's virtually said the same thing, how can really, the Western humanity to me is a godless, and become a godless humanity. It's only getting worse, really. Why is that so? Why is that so? And I think science has got a lot to do with that. And then what can be done about it? And I think that's the same theme I'm hearing right around the table. That's my question for now, is what, you know, how do you bring a godless society back to the reality of life? And I don't see religion has to be can be, but my observation is religion isn't going to do it now. In the past, yes, it could have. You could give people belief systems, but you can't anymore. People that are educated in a scientific background won't take beliefs anymore. They want more than beliefs. They want pretty sound scientific evidence. You can't just expect a belief system to work with the majority of people.
Thank you. Thanks, Kurt. My name's Graeme Hanna. This is Liz, my wife Liz, brought me to the Swedenborg of a new church about 9 years ago, and I guess that was the start of my spiritual journey in my maturity years. I was born and raised as a good Presbyterian, and left that church in my teenage years because it wasn't delivering to me anything like the sort of information and stimulation that, that I was looking for. I guess Swedenborg brings to me, and the new church brings to me, a better understanding of the word, and helps me with the spiritual growth that the journey of spiritual growth that I've been going through for the last 9 years or so. I liken my spiritual journey to riding on a train, and I think I said at the church camp in Sydney a couple of years ago that I hadn't yet got across the Harbour Bridge. Well, perhaps at this stage I might have got to maybe Chatsworth Station or something like that, so I've still got a long way to go. So what am I after for this seminar, which is our second seminar? I guess it's information. I guess it's a greater understanding of the word and how Swedenborg fits in with all of that, and a greater understanding of the question that I have, and that is, what is my role in this world? So that's what I'm here for.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Kennis. I was brought up in Presbyterian Church. I always remember at 16, I definitely decided I believed in God. I've been through Presbyterian Church, Uniting Church, and then the Anglican Church, all of which did very, very little for me. I used to sit in an Anglican church, listening to the sermon and saying, no, 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 you got it all wrong, it's this. No, no, you got it wrong, and that just nothing ever gelled, and it was always very, very frustrating. And I walked into Julian's church about 15 years ago, and I thought, yeah, here it is, I've got it. So you finally get Swedenborg's message, which just cuts through all the baggage that all the other religions seem to be completely swamped by this baggage. The message just isn't getting through. They're just so involved in all the peripheral stuff, you know, power and politics and all the little rules and rituals that it just completely blankets out what the message is. So I'm extremely grateful that I've got to Swedenborg. Sometimes I think it's disappointing that I haven't been a Swedenborgian in my life because the knowledge that you guys have is just phenomenal. But I also think, well, hang on, I can share with other people the difference between not having a decent message and then finding a decent message. So I really enjoy being in a Swedenborgian situation because, you know, just people are just straight. They've got nothing that they're not sort of saying, you've got to come with me, this is the only way, or you're going to be condemned to hell or something or other. I thought, oh, such a relief to mix with people, you know, just interested in the message and getting the truth out. My question, I'm retired and to me completely aimless. I do lots of stuff, help my daughter-in-law, I work at the Swedenborg Centre, and I just think, what am I doing? All I want to be is a servant of the Lord, but I don't know how. What I sort of feel all these little things I'm doing, yeah, I'm helping people, sort of doing things, but if I look back on my life, it looks like it's been a preparation for something, but what? I've got decades to go, and I'm looking forward to actually finding something really purposeful to live my life, and I haven't found it. And I also think all these seminars and everything you go to gives you a lot of knowledge and understanding and background, and I really believe in that phrase that, I don't know if the phrase comes from anywhere, but in my own mind, if I get in a situation with anybody and they're asking me questions of anything, I just say, tell me the answer, and these words just come out. And so I think a lot of this is preparation, putting information, shoving all this stuff inside me so that if a need ever arises, it's there, and I've got the confidence that it is there and the confidence that the Lord will bring it out when it's necessary. So I'm here to soak up more information and just to be with really nice people.
Yes, I also did not grow up in the new church. Came into the new church around 15 years ago. I actually came in through someone giving me a copy of Heaven and Hell, which is a surprisingly common way of people entering the new church. But I have been in church all my life. My parents were in church all my life, all their lives, and my grandparents were in church most of their lives. I come from a very churched family, and that presented its own challenges to me. But also, I've been somebody who, although I love people and I love relating to people, at the same time, I'm somebody who searches for truth alone if necessary, you know, goes where no one else can go, and in a sense, very real sense, I guess, I left behind my relationships and my friendships and my family in pursuit of truth, and went through quite a large number of different things until I eventually came to the writings. And then even after discovering the writings, it was 4 or 5 years before I joined the new church. The thing that I really enjoy with seminars, as much as the lectures and things like that, and obviously the study, now that I'm giving them, the study involved in preparing them, which in itself is a wonderful thing, I just like the opportunities to talk to people about where they're at in their truth and to share that with them. You can get lots of opportunity to talk to people, lots of opportunity to share with people, but not a great deal of sharing people's truth. This is one of the few places that I've ever been where you actually, even in church, you don't so much do that. I certainly do that here. And that's what I enjoy most about coming to seminar. I've been trying to think of a question, and I can't really think of one at the moment, so I'll skip that if you don't mind.
No worries, thanks, mate. Thanks, everybody. So what I think we'll do now, if I'll just go to each of the presenters and they can just give a little bit of a synopsis of what's coming, and then we can take a break.
It's on the machine, of course, three sessions, one today, one tomorrow, one Sunday. Today's session is on the sort of fascinating and hopefully a little bit experiential theme of the fact that our states in life change, fluctuate, alternate, and so on, you know. We don't flatline. Why and what's involved and a bit more. Tomorrow will be a bit of a quirky look at something abstruse, which is the correspondences in some of the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Not that experiential, but who knows what will come out of that. Third one is I am introducing on Sunday the thrust of one of Swedenborg's writings, Apocalypse Revealed, which I would just say is certainly not one of the nicest books of the writings. More of that later. Okay? That's it.
Thanks, Matt. I've got two sessions on today. My first one I've called Towards a Theology of Change. It's very much it's part of a personal journey. I hope I can take you along with me as we go through that session today. Won't tell you much more than that. The second one today is introducing the little book, The Intercourse of the Soul and the Body. And I very much enjoyed researching that in terms of the historical background of the book. So that'll be that later on today. And then tomorrow, we've got a session called Lost in Translation. And this is really meant for people who, like me, do not understand anything about languages. And the problem that it is when you are trying to decipher, interpret a text which is basically written in another language and you are working from a translation into English. How do you become aware of and then face some of the problems you have in doing that job? Which I do as a minister, you know, every month or so. That's good.
Thanks. Bye.
Yes, I'm doing three sessions. My first two sessions will be tomorrow, when I'll be covering the book Heaven and Hell. Now, I'm going to basically do that in a workshop where I divide you into groups and get you to pick three, four themes or four subjects which are spoken of in a particular group of paragraphs in Heaven and Hell, so you'll be roughly in the same part of the book as you answer these questions and use it for a seed to discussion, and then hopefully bring back to the group and share with the rest of the group. So I'd like, if possible, for as many people that can bring their own copy of Heaven and Hell to do so, if they can. The second session, The Four Levels of the Cross, revolves around the writings of a woman by the name of Mary Lee Horton, who wrote in the last century. And she basically came up with the reason why we have four Gospels and why they differ and where they differ and what it means. But in order to get a grasp of that, I will actually have to take a step back, and I want to talk to you about the process of Reformation and Regeneration as the New Church teaches it, which is roughly a four-stage process. And then look at the number four, quite an interesting little aside about the number four and about some of the symbols associated with four. That's going to be tomorrow afternoon. And then finally on Sunday, Inherited Evil and Immaculate Conception. Well, Inherited Evil is a very interesting little subpart, as it were, of the writings. Quite different to pretty much anything else that you'll certainly get taught in the Christian church about sin and evil. In some ways, difficult to relate, maybe to find useful, maybe to apply, and yet so many, I think you'll find there's so many interesting things that you see in your families and in your life. And somebody else was talking about inheritance and genetics last night. I spent a little bit of time looking at that as well, as a natural genetics and a spiritual genetics, or a natural inheritance and a spiritual inheritance. And then talking about Immaculate Conception is the Catholic belief that Mary never sinned, so that Jesus was born to a sinless woman. And I want to, that's actually, there's quite an important connection there, because the writings teach that Mary had to have sin. If she had not had sin, she would have been, to put it bluntly, useless as a mother of the Lord. and what the writings teach us about that.
Thanks. Okay. And sessions that I'll be doing, the one after morning tea this morning is working with the sacred scripture. Essentially what we'll be doing is we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture and unpacking it as a group, something June's familiar with because we do that every fourth Sunday of the month. So that's something I'd like to share with you and hopefully just perhaps impart a few skills in terms of how to look at a passage of scripture and get a sense of what it might mean spiritually on a deeper level, and particularly in terms of its application to your spiritual growth and development on a personal level. So we'll do that, and you know, I've got the scripture, so we'll just see where that goes. This is the second session on divine love and wisdom. I did the first one at Mount Tambourine at the last seminar. So originally I was going to do a summary of the whole book in one session, and now as I started working through it, it just wasn't going to work. And so we're on to part 1B. So there's a number of letter sessions to come. So and I'll just keep working through that over you know, seminars of the future. So but really, we just hopefully what we'll get out of that is a kind of an understanding of the use of some critical terms. And I'll just qualify that by saying that. You know, the writings go to great pains to define terms, and we can often just read and bring the associations that we've grown up with to the terms being used without actually looking at how they're actually defined by Swedenborg. Because, and if you bring your associations, the common meaning of some words, to the words he uses, you're running around in the dark. So terms are really important, and their definitions are important. And it may seem kind of abstract, but ultimately the way we think about these spiritual terms has a direct impact on the way you take life. And so ideas are important. And having those ideas clear in one's own mind goes a long way to being able to navigate through life, and in particular to navigate your way through the sacred scripture. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at there. Then tomorrow I do a wrap-up of the Arcana, so we'll be wrapping up chapters 36 to 40. We'll be mainly looking at the interchapter material because there isn't a lot in terms of commentary on the actual text of Exodus. But we've been working through the Arcana over these 10 years, starting with chapter 12 of Genesis. We didn't actually do the first 11 chapters of the Arcana, and we've just come to the end. So, you know, that's a victory for me. So I'll take that. We've got through it. So at the next seminar,
we're going to start again.
Yeah, in the next seminar we will be beginning again, but we'll be beginning with chapter 1.
And 10 years later.
10 years or 11 years or however long it takes, we'll be back here. So we are back to the future, folks, tomorrow. And then the final one, Reflection on Swedenborg's Spiritual Experiences. It's not the book, mate. I didn't even know there was a book of that title. So what it is a bit of work that I've been doing with regard to Swedenborg's spiritual experiences and their relationship to the pattern of our regeneration and kind of. So I hope that doesn't doesn't disappoint.
Disappoint.
Yeah. So and I'll just say about that the. There's just such a volume of material in this area, and I've tried to sift through stuff and pulled together something that's coherent. I hope it's coherent. But it is a fascinating area, looking at the shifts in the way Swedenborg processes what's happening from, say, very early on in the transition phase when he was making the transition from scientist to revelator. You have the Journal of Dreams and that material in there, and then what's actually presented in the Heavenly Doctrine and how it's presented in the Heavenly Doctrine. So, and we can see our own journey in these shifts. Well, that's the theory, okay? That's the theory that I've brought to it, but it would seem that the evidence is there, and so we're going to just be playing around with that a little bit. So that winds up what I'll be doing. We have a daily wrap-up and debrief, so if questions rise for you, just jot them down. There's an opportunity there to throw some things around at the end of the day and go away perhaps more confused than
how
again.
That is more.
Well, that's kind of, I don't know what time have we got the book into? Okay.
I'll be checking that at 1:00.
I'd kind of given half an hour for that. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Okay, so, Mark.
I just feel a little bit of a nudge to say, if it all feels like a bit too much for you, at any stage during the seminar, you've paid to be here, it's your money, and if you want to take some time out, feel free to do that. What I suggest you do is go and speak to whoever's taking the next session, just let them know that you're just having a little bit of time in the sun or going for a walk or something like that. Please don't feel like you're obligated to be here in every session, and if you want to ask someone else to go with you, that's not a problem. As long as we're not worrying that, we're waiting for you or worrying that you're late or anything like that. But please just feel comfortable about taking some time out, because that is a necessary spiritual discipline as much as anything else. Okay, can I just leave you with that?
Thanks, Mark. Morning to you.